evil you shall not eat, for in that the day that you eat it, you will die. Now the serpent, who was more crafty than any other animal that the Lord had made, he said to the woman, "Did God say, 'You shall not eat from any tree in the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit in the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die, for God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be opened, and that you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was the delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. When the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and then they sewed fig leaves together, and they made loincloths for themselves.
Thank you. that certainly set the tone for our journey to the cross this Lenten season. Thank you, choir. Thank you very much. We are, yes, in the season of Lent. And we're going to be hearing about how Jesus interacted with people throughout his ministry over the coming 6 weeks. But today we are picking up a story to begin his ministry. We are picking up that story from the day of his baptism, which, if you'll remember, we celebrated on the second Sunday of January. We heard at that time how Jesus came to the Jordan and John refused almost to baptize him. And when he came out of the water, we all heard the words from heaven above and saw the Holy Spirit rest upon him. So listen now for where we pick up with Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. And 16 to 21. And that is incorrect. We are picking up on chapter 4. I kept looking at that saying that wasn't right. Chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Listen now for God's word to God's people. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." And Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." And again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all of the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to them, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Lord, who throughout these 40 days, 40 days, that's a rather long time. It's 11% of our calendar year. It's less time than an astronomical month is long, but much longer than it takes to develop a new habit. Used 146 times throughout Scripture, that number 40 takes on mysterious and mystical proportions. 40 days and 40 nights. That's the amount of time Noah and his family spent on the ark with all those animals during the deluge. Yuck. Apparently, that is the time that it took God to wash the world clean of the wanton ways of the rest of the world's population at that time. It seems changing the earth and its peoples does take time, even for God. 40 is also the number of days both Moses and Elijah fasted in the wilderness. Moses spent the time learning from and talking with God. And to the end of their retreat, and at the end of their retreat, he returned to the Israelites with the tablets that contained how they were to change and behave as God's children. Their old ways were to be stopped, and a new life was to begin. Now, 40 days is just about 4.4%, if I've done the math correctly, of the 40 years the Hebrews spent roaming the wilderness between Egypt and Palestine, behind God's pillars of fire at night and smoke during the day. People needed that much time to develop the patience that they needed to accept the fact that God does not reveal God's will when they demand, but only when God desires to do so. Then, too, to the Hebrews, 40 years represented an entire generation. King Saul, King David, King Solomon all ruled each for 40 years. I guess that also means that God only brought children of the adults who left Egypt into the land of milk and honey. Yes, changing lifestyles and habits can take a great deal of time. Alas, though, change can be eroded. Years after they made that land their home, the prophet Ezekiel laid on his right side for 40 days to represent the number of years the kingdoms of Israel and Judah had insulted God's name. Also very sad. And poor Jonah. He had to walk around that great but terribly decadent city of Nineveh, crying out that the city was to be overthrown for, yes, 40 days. In other words, a new way of life needed to begin now or else. 40 years, 40 days, 40 nights. 40 days and 40 nights are how long Jesus spent in the Palestinian wilderness without food or water after his baptism. And to think that the Holy Spirit who rested upon him, led him out there immediately after his baptism. Now, such a strenuous ordeal is hard to imagine. While we have no way of knowing which season he spent out there, that wilderness is nothing if not empty of food to eat and dry to the bone. Now, the text tells us that after the 40th day out there, Jesus was hungry. Indeed, he was famished. But it says nothing about being thirsty, which is good, since the human body can only live for 3 to 4 days without water. It's interesting that the story doesn't say that the Spirit left him during that time. Could it be that the Spirit remained with him and showed him natural springs while he was out in that place? They do occur, you know, natural springs. Of course, if that is the case, then why was Jesus famished? Couldn't the spirit have helped him find food? The body can only live for about 3 weeks without it. I guess it's going to have to remain another puzzlement. Or perhaps this story isn't supposed to be a factual telling of a journey through time. Perhaps, we are to take something more in from Matthew's description of this event than just the facts. You know, there is more to Jesus' life story than a timeline of 40 days and 40 nights. And from the moment he was baptized by John in the Jordan River, Jesus' life changed, took a turn. What had been was no more. His new life was beginning. And the next 40 days would give him the space in which to take in that change, to feel it deep within his soul. I wonder if during this wilderness time, God wasn't confirming Jesus' ministry in ways similar to those God used with Moses and Elijah. Perhaps God's Spirit was with the Son, helping him with final preparations for the trial ahead. If nothing else, Jesus may have spent the time in prayerful conversations with God as Moses had so long ago. God did just say that Jesus was the beloved Son with whom God was well pleased. But Matthew doesn't say anything about this. He just leaves doors open to possibilities. And no matter the reality, we are definitely led to believe that once the tempter came on the scene, Jesus was on his own. And it seems that even though he was hungry beyond belief, with each new challenge, Jesus was able to counter the attacks the tempter made on his faith in God. Jesus withstood those 40 days and nights and became fully committed in his faith. He knew that real life is only found in God's words and God's ways. Bread may be good for the body, but without God, there is nothing. He knew, too, that he deeply trusted and revered the Lord his God and intended to serve only God, even at risk of his own life. And he knew that he would not test God as did his ancestors during their 40-year sojourn. Instead, Jesus worshiped the Lord with all of his heart, all of his mind, and all of his soul. And to ensure that his message was heard by this fallen angel, this tempter, Jesus even quotes some pretty powerful words straight from Deuteronomy. Only after Jesus' third rejection did the tempter leave God's Son. I cannot imagine the courage, the conviction, the fortitude, the confidence, and yes, the loyalty to God that Jesus mustered to ward off his ordinary human desires for possessions, power, prestige, even food. Excuse me. But I fully believe those characteristics were being finely tuned over his 40 days of desert time, his 40 days of sabbatical, if you will. His life had changed, and his body and soul needed that pause, that space to breathe and prepare for the journey that lay ahead. And quite frankly, as a pastor, I can assure you that the fact that these 40 days and 40 nights came just before Jesus began his formal ministry was the only way it could have happened. Yeah, later we hear that he carved out hours, even a day or two here or there for time apart. But 40 days and 40 nights would never have been possible. There was no way he could get away from it all once the teaching and healing, the calling and following, the feeding and the miracles started. And there was no way that he would want to. Friends, we may not face the same challenges as Jesus did, but our lives are crazy and complicated. Working folks say they are driven by their work and barely have enough time to deal with their family. And once they are retired, friends of mine tell me that they are busier than they ever were in their working days. I suspect you've heard that too. Our schedules are so full, we can barely stand up and take a walk just for the joy of seeing God's world. Yet we all need that pause, that kind of space, if we are to walk through life in emotional, physical, and spiritual health. Without taking time away to breathe in the desert or ocean or even the forest air and be quietly present to God, all of us would be tempted to seek shortcuts, ignore God's will, and pursue goals that promise fulfillment but only lead to emptiness. I don't know if you know this, but the word Lent comes from the Old English word lengthen, L-E-N-C-T-E-N, which means the beginning of the lengthening of days. Sort of makes sense. You know, when we think about it, I mean, in the last 2 months, we've all noticed that the sunsets are a little later and the sunrises come a little bit earlier each day. And by the way, next Sunday, thanks to daylight savings time, we begin getting an extra hour of daylight. Lengthen. Lent. 40 days. 40 nights. And I'd like to invite you over these next 40 days and 40 nights to spend part of those extra daylight hours in quiet time with God, the Creator of all life, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit Divine. No, it will not be the same as a 40-day sabbatical, and yet, how might your life be without taking that time? Remember the Israelites in the wilderness? Moses, Elijah, Jesus? None of them would have been resilient enough to face the challenges of the lives that they were leading. None would have been ready at all for God's call on their lives. Without that space, that time, perhaps even Jesus wouldn't have been able to trust God so completely or answer the tempter from such a deeply faithful place. Friends, we all need time to be alone with God and prepare for whatever calling God places on us in this time and in this place. May this Lenten season be your time to deepen your relationship with your Father, the Son, and the Spirit Divine. Amen. I would invite you all to stand as you are able and share with me the words of the Apostles' Creed, which are on page 14 of our hymnal, the traditional ones we've said so many times. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived.
Jesus says, where your treasure is, there too will be your heart. Let us give willingly and joyously and in service to him. Thank you. We give you thanks and praise, O God, for the free and abundant gift of grace you have given us in Jesus the Christ. Let these simple gifts be a sign of our unending gratitude for your undying love. Amen.
So, we have come to our time of prayer, and before we really launch into it, I do want to call your attention to the, I would call it a bulletin insert, the attachment, Ubi Caritas, which is Live in Charity, and it's a very simple song that will lead us prayerfully into our time of communion, that time when we are nourished for the Lenten journey ahead. And I think you're going to play it through first one time, and then we're just going to start singing it. Yeah, it's really... Let our voices resound with thanksgiving to the one who shows us faithful care. Let us pray. You held nothing back, O gardener of grace. As the Spirit led creation into the hinterlands of nothing, spreading rich soil in the valleys, planting seedlings and flower bulbs, making mountains from river clay, sprinkling water over everything. Mornings came in Eden's beauty, but we listened to evil's whispers, believing those whose lies were so easily told. Like a crew launching a boat to rescue those who are adrift, you sent prophets to us to counsel us to let go of our stubbornness and return to your side. But with our eyes wide open, we followed that path which took us away from the middle of your garden. So you sent Jesus to us, the free gift of grace for all. And with the faithful who have gone before us, with companions through this journey even today, we offer glad songs of deliverance, singing, "Holy, holy, holy are you, God of steadfast love. Creation sings your praises as on that first morning. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who brings grace to us. Hosanna in the highest. You alone are holy, hope of our lives, and Jesus Christ is your blessed righteousness. He came when we got what we wanted to know both good and evil, so we might receive what we need most, your grace. He came when we left the garden to enter the deserts of temptation, to show us the path back to our hearts. He came when we gave control of our lives to sin and death, breaking their hold on us as he was raised from the grave. As we begin to follow him to Jerusalem, as we would choose to embrace his suffering, we speak of that free gift called faith. Christ died. Christ was raised. Christ will come again. Send your Spirit to rest on the gifts of the bread and of the cup so that those gathered might be fed. Like bread, cause us to rise up and go forth to bring hope to those around us. And like the cup that is poured out, let us be filled with your grace to go out into the world to empty ourselves for others. And when our journeys in and out of the wilderness of the world are ended, you will gather us around the great feast of the Lamb of God, where we will sing glad songs of joy to you, God and community, holy in one. Amen. Let us pray together the words that Jesus taught his disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us this debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. On the night of his arrest, Jesus sat to dine with his brothers. And after the meal, he took bread. And he lifted it and gave thanks for it to God. And then he broke it. And he said, "This bread is my body, which has been broken for you. Take, eat, and do so always, remembering me." And in the same way, he took the cup. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant, which has been sealed in my blood, which has been shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Whenever you drink of it, do so, remembering me." Therefore, every time we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we do so proclaiming the saving death of the risen Lord until he comes again. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Thank you. Brothers and sisters, this is the bread of life, broken for you. Take and eat, remembering him. This is the cup of salvation, which has been spilt for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. Take and drink of it, remembering him. Let us pray. O God, with your bread and wine, you have filled and strengthened us for the journey ahead. So lead us now to all who are afraid, for we are ready to follow where your Spirit leads. May we follow Jesus into all the places where those tossed aside by the world live, so that your hope may fill the world. Amen.
Mm-hmm.